Last week we had a great time talking about dating relationships and that transition from single into a dating and doing that God's way, which was fun. Yeah. We had a lot of fun talking about that.
Dating and then mating.
Dating and mating. Oh, I think you said single, and then tonight is about the tingle.
That's right, single, mingle and tingle.
That's what you did say.
I did mention that. Did I say that publicly?
Yeah, you said that publicly.
All right, sorry.
You weren't supposed to.
We were brainstorming names for the series, but I liked asking for a friend. That's great.
But before we do have a couple of questions that we didn't actually get to, which I'd love to come to. But before we do that, I want to do a little this or that.
Okay.
Just a little this or that, just a little bit of fun.
That. Let's go.
I haven't prepped you with this.
No,
It's not related to tonight's topic.
Not related to tonight. It's just to get the mind going. All right.
All right.
This or that.
Yes.
Pizza or pasta?
Oh.
Pasta.
Pizza.
Okay. Little personal. Scrunch or fold?
Fold.
I feel like it's fold. I can't remember.
How long's it been?
Bit of both.
I don't concentrate.
Let us know next week.
Thank you, Dave. Wow. Who approved these questions?
Sorry.
No one. This is...
Okay. Holidays.
Yes.
Camp or resort?
Resort.
Yeah.
No worries there. I like to sleep under the stars, Dave. The five stars.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. Introvert or extrovert?
Oh, 50-50.
Almost right on the line, but just tipping to the introvert. Yeah.
Okay. Tipping to the extrovert.
Okay, if someone was to get in touch with you, you prefer text or call?
Depends what it's about.
Okay. as a general rule.
As a general rule, text first.
Text first.
Yeah, I like that too.
Okay. I'm a caller.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. I like
it's a bit annoying to some people. I don't know.
I like calls as well. Just depends who it is and what it's about, though.
Both.
Yeah. All right. So your team, do you prefer Josh or Teresa? No, I'm joking.
Pastor Josh comes back next week. We love you, Pastor Josh, if you listen to that. That's awesome. That's our young adult pastor. He's been on leave for an executive pastor for six weeks. So next Sunday.
Yeah, back tomorrow.
He'll be at the Freedom Seminar. Be nice to him.
Yeah.
Be nice to him.
All right, so you've got a night to yourself. You want friends over or do you want to spend it alone? Well, together. You prefer to have people over or... back to the extrovert, introvert.
Yeah, it's 50-50. Yeah.
50-50, yeah, all right. Yeah. Praise or worship?
Both. Praise or worship?
Praise or worship.
Oh.
What?
I'm gonna go worship tonight.
Tonight.
Worship.
All right. Last one.
Very. That's harsh.
Hey, you actually asked me that once.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay. He took it off us. Yeah.
What's more natural for you? Prayer or reading the Bible?
Oh.
Oh, okay. Probably praying is the easier one for me, and reading my Bible.
That's the discipline.
Actually, reading full stops more of a discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going prayer as well.
Yep. Cool. Very cool. Learn a little bit about you.
Bit about us.
So we're gonna go back. We had a couple of questions that we didn't get time for last week.
Right.
Back around the dating, finding partners.
Yes.
We didn't talk about dating apps or Christian dating apps or dating sites.
Yes.
So would love your thoughts around that.
Mm-hmm.
And on that same tone in looking for a partner, we'll start with that.
Yeah, well, if we just do a really quick recap on, just when we're dating and looking for a life partner, okay? Looking for someone to marry. And this, everything we're talking about, if you're new tonight, it's from a Christian perspective. We're talking about what the Bible teaches, knowing that God created us and He made us. And the Bible, there's a component that there's a manual for doing life at the best and highest, which might be different to what the media, the world has told you. And we're trying to align so we can live the best life that God's got for us. Just pre-cursor. So we would just say that in terms of what you're looking for when you start dating, you're looking for someone who's a follower of Jesus and planted in a church. So that's a component. Got great character, because you might be attracted to looks or personality, but ultimately character will do or is the make or break of a relationship. And then you build on friendship. So friendship and companionship are the kind of basics that we're looking for, which takes time over a period. So if we let's talk about apps then. Yep. So, you know, we live in a swipe right sort of culture. And it's Christian, let's just talk about Christian dating apps, okay? So obviously we're not using them for hookups. We're using them to find someone. We haven't found anyone in our current circles. And there's a lot of people who do find a life partner through a dating app. But here's the main thing, is that the principles we talked about last week stand. So a dating app is not like, we all match on paper and therefore we're going to start dating. The dating app is a person I don't know. So now I've got to actually really find out, are they a follower of Jesus? Are they planted in a church? Have they got great character? Are they teachable? Have they got a strong friendship circle? And go twice as slow as you would if you knew them in your church circle. Because you can't, it takes a long time to know someone's character. So it can work, but you just got to be super slow.
Yeah, so, you know, just in terms of what we talked about last week, if you weren't here, you're working on self-improvement anyway. So it's not like you're looking for this person to complete you and make your life right and be all joyful and it's going to be amazing for the rest of your life. If you're working on growing yourself, growing in the Lord and just being planted in church and being a disciple, really, of Jesus. So we're not looking for perfection. You're not going to find perfection. You might look at someone who is, you know, 10, 20 years down the track and you're like, I want someone like that. Well, you're not going to find them 10, 20 years pre that. Right. That's what they grow into. You grow together. Right. And so don't set your ideals really high or you've got this list of an amazing person. No one can fit that because they're not perfect and they're just going to go on this growth journey with you. So in saying that, are we looking for partners in other churches or like your question from tonight, it's a faith journey, I guess. You know, we're going to pray on, so it's not like, oh, I need someone by the end of the year, you know, and giving God a deadline.
Don't do that.
And so you're like, well, if it's not, they're not here, then they've got to be somewhere. Yeah. I've got to get out there. And so it depends what your motivation is in terms of finding a person and, to meet that need for you. It's such a surrender. It's such a trust and a faith journey in terms of, okay, God, I'm believing that you're, have got someone for me.
Right.
He does have someone for you.
Yeah.
He's got someone for everyone here who's single looking for a partner for life. And so to a trust, but really a faith, to go to prayer on that, God, you show me and you speak to me and you let me go on that journey of trusting you. And are they going to come across my path or am I going to have to take a step of faith? And so just that journey of faith to really, okay, we're partnering with God here. I'm just not going out there and making it happen because that's what I feel, is my destiny.
Love it. Absolutely. So can they be from another church? Absolutely. Because they're just going to come here. They can be from another church. Absolutely. And ultimately, probably the wisdom in that is don't change churches too quickly. Because if your friendship group and your support network is here and theirs is somewhere else, it's the sort of the what church you're going to go to is a post being engaged question. It's not a I'm going to leave my support group and my friendship and because what happens if you break up? Then it's awkward. So you're better to have a relationship and you can visit each other's churches of course ultimately, but don't rush into someone who you don't have a relationship with and don't rush into changing churches just hoping that the grass will be greener over there.
Great wisdom. It's great wisdom. So that's covering off. There's a couple of questions around that last week. So
awesome.
Thank you for speaking into that. It's really helpful. So we're going to move into the tingles.
Yes. Thank you, Dave.
We should name tonight's message the tingles.
Let's keep going, Dave.
No?
That's
okay.
Great.
Sorry. All right. But Pastor John, this morning you shared a fantastic message.
Thank you.
On the theology of
so
sex.
Good.
Right.
So we got heaps of questions.
Yes.
But could you just give us to help us? Just give a bit
framework.
Of a recap on this morning.
Really encourage you to listen to the message, watch it on YouTube. Who is here who heard it this morning? Give us a wave. Who's listened to it? There are some people. Great. So real quick summation of it is, number one, sex is a God's sacred gift to us. It's a gift. He created it. He's the author of it. He created all the bits and pieces. He created all the chemicals that flood our bodies when we're aroused. I like to say he designed the orgasm. God is the originator of all of that. So it's good. And it's his gift. That's the first thing.
So good.
The second thing is that because sex is like fire, it's often compared to a fire. There's on the inside of us, we're wired with a sexual desire. The fact that you've got a sexual desire that burns on the inside doesn't make you a sinner. It makes you a human being. Yeah. Yeah. So the problem with fire, and this was my photos from this morning, is that a fireplace provides warmth and it provides light. And so if you've got a fire in a fire pit or in a fireplace, it's beautiful. But if that fire doesn't have any boundaries and it gets out of control, it can burn houses down. Yeah. So essentially, sex within boundaries can be a beautiful, warm, awesome thing that God's given. And the boundaries that God establishes in the Bible is a man and woman in marriage for a lifetime commitment. That's the Creator's design for how this beautiful gift can operate, okay? How it can work. However, the world hates that, lies to us, and I'll get to that in a moment. I'm doing the quick summary. So in essence, the fire, if we don't contain it, that sexual desire, it will get out of control and people get hurt. So marriages get hurt, families get hurt. The ultimate out of control is abuse. And so the step between the fire on the inside and abuse, it might seem like it's, you know, I'll never get, it's just a, it's kind of this thing that gets out of control. So God said, put it within boundaries and don't let it get, just contain it. Enjoy it, love it, but don't let it get out of control. And then the last thing I talked about was the devil wants to distort sex. So he wants to either make sex way more important than it is, and kind of really distort and lust and hookups and one-night stands and living together, all of that. And or he wants to actually make it Christians feel bad about it, that it's dirty or that it's wrong. And so either of those are extreme. So that's the summary of this morning. Quick summary.
So good. It was a great message. Yeah, it was really, really powerful. Please, if you don't usually listen to our messages throughout the week, that's definitely one to go back and give a lot of context to what we're about to speak to. But awesome. You did, you just even mentioned it there about putting boundaries in our life. I want to start there because it definitely applies to all of us, whether, you know, there's appropriate boundaries in marriages and all that kind of stuff. But specifically young adults, there's a lot of young adults here.
Yep. Yeah.
Dating,
yes.
Meeting new people,
yes.
Going on that journey.
Yes.
What are some boundaries when people are getting into relationships that they can put in place before they get married? It's going to keep them safe.
Okay.
That's actually one of the questions that someone asked.
Great.
Specifically.
Well, I'll just start with the concept. So I'm just going to presume that you've made a decision that you want to do this God's way. So let's start with that as a presumption. I'm not going to try and convince you about that. But that's a bit more this morning. But basically, God, I want to do it your way, and I'm saving the gift of sex until my wedding night.
Right.
You know, that's the... So it's kind of like, don't open the Christmas present under the tree until Christmas. It's just don't do it. You'll ruin it. So in that sense, that's what we're talking about. How do we put boundaries in dating?
Yeah.
What do you want to go?
Okay. So, I mean, we live in a very sexualized culture. And so it is really important as Christians to put boundaries in place because, like you said, we're human beings. We respond. Our bodies respond.
Yep.
There's just hormones within us. And so it's really important to set boundaries in your dating relationship. I mean, in your marriage relationship, you need boundaries as well. So it's not just in dating, it's really important when you're married. I'll tell you what's really important for the basis of your relationship in terms of why God wants boundaries, why he doesn't want sex before marriage and what that does in your relationship. It can really mess with trust. And respect.
Yes.
So if your partner's crossing boundaries or you're crossing boundaries, it's kind of like, okay, so can I really trust you?
Yep.
Because we've talked about this not being, you know, it being something that we want for us. So especially for a woman, if you're going to cross those boundaries, even though I'm leaning into it essentially because that's how the body works.
Right.
I'm not sure I can trust you
long
term.
Guys have got to take the lead.
And with a man, it's respect.
Yep.
And so if there's a loss of respect, that's a sort of like a foundation for a relationship. So it's kind of like if you're driving too fast and something runs out in front of you, it's not that you can't... it's not... If you brake, but you're too fast, you're going to hit them because you're already in motion.
You're traveling
whereas
too fast.
You're traveling too fast. So it's putting those... you know, non-accelerators in, so yep. It's like, oh, you can break early.
Yeah, yeah. So recognizing our sexual humanity, that's awesome. It means that we have to pre-think before the heat of the moment. We've got to put some things in place, some agreed things. So it's really good to talk about. You're starting dating someone, you go, hey, I want to do this God's way. Yeah. If you're a Christian couple, let's do this God's way. And so that means our goal. Now, you may have been sexually active before, so we can talk about that in terms of healing and boundaries. But in essence, if you're starting fresh as a Christian couple, we want to keep sex until we get married, then there's just certain things that it's just best not to test yourself. It's best not to go, oh, cool, we'll do everything apart from have sex. But then it's once you're 80% there, it's very hard to stop. So here's just a simple boundary that we always kind of teach. And it's just, if it's supposed to be covered by underwear, don't touch it. You know, and you're like, oh, but that's not having sex. Yeah, but once you start touching genitalia, once you start touching breasts, once you really start into that zone, then the engine starts revving and I'm not going to name anyone, but no one is going to, it's going to be really hard to stop.
Yeah.
So you're better to go, let's pre-agree that's out of bounds, even though it'd be awesome, but it's actually going to create problems. So that would be one just really practical boundary. If it might be as simple as let's not be in a house together alone. So I've known people who have refused for their dating time to go in a car alone together because they crossed boundaries and they're like, we can't trust ourselves. So it's not a matter of willpower.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of are you strong enough.
Right.
It's like, no, you're a human being with sexual... Yes. So back up the truck,
yep.
So to speak.
Back up the truck. No, it's really good. And you can apply, like, some common sense in that. Like, if it's late at night...
Yes. Some people have self-imposed curfews.
Yeah, totally.
So you've got to understand, what your triggers are and just avoiding those and even the accountability with
really
somebody
good.
Else, whether it's a pastor, a connect group leader, someone that you're just, okay, we've talked about it, we've made these agreements, can I be accountable to you?
Yes.
That's really, even just the thought of having to tell someone if we've crossed it is enough to just pull it in.
Yeah. So if the if falling off the sexual edge is there, you're better to actually go, here's my boundary.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, you know, okay, otherwise it's like sand and it's just going to go shoomp from out underneath you. So and that's the be accountable to somebody else who you trust as a leader about this boundary. Not about, oh, we didn't do anything, so we're good.
Right.
It's like, no, actually, we didn't touch where we said.
Right.
Also, a curfew. Alcohol is probably one of the worst things that helps people drop their inhibitions. So, you know, one of the things that alcohol does is it stops you connecting actions with future consequences. So when someone's drinking, in that moment, you start losing, you get loose, we call it, you get loose. So alcohol and dating is not a good combination. So just being aware.
Short-term pain is long-term gain.
Yeah.
And it really is worth the wait.
So
if you can give
it's not going to fall off if you wait. Just to be really clear.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, no, really clear. It's not. It doesn't break. It's okay.
That's awesome. It's so worth it.
Nice.
Is this a moment to say, turn to your neighbour and say, so good? No, it's not, is it? Just let's keep moving.
We are not
Please
doing
don't.
That. It's a safe place.
I'm already uncomfortable. No, I'm already. Okay, so that's really, really cool. So we're looking at setting boundaries away from the cliff.
Yep.
But I'm sure there's people probably
Absolutely.
Sitting here that have missed the mark.
Yep.
They've stumbled, they have fallen,
yes.
And they've made some mistakes.
Yes.
And maybe right now is the moment they've gone, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, okay, I got to stop.
Yes.
So what are some things that people can do really to maybe recover? They might be thinking, how do I fix it? Or what is it, if they've made the mistake, what would you say to someone?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. One, lots of people who become Christians, let's start there, have been sexually active and had multiple partners or lived the world's way. And so the point is, when we get a new framework of this is God's way, it's to repent and own it and go, I'm sorry, Jesus. And very quickly you get forgiven and you're brand new and you get a fresh start with God. So that's the great news. So you don't have to live under condemnation of okay, I've lived this way. Usually people have a sense of guilt and shame about it, but ultimately God wants to lift guilt and shame, so we're not living under that. So that'd be the first thing. Then if in a relationship early on you cross boundaries, bring it into the light. Tell a leader, tell a connect group leader, tell someone you trust. So that's the confession of sin. And you know, revisit together, these are the boundaries. Probably sometimes talk with a person about that. And you can reset. You just may have to be stricter. You know, and that's okay. So I've known people who get a revelation that this doing it God's way after they've done it the world's way, and the world's way left them empty and hurting and broken. Doing it God's way. So some of them would say, oh, we're not even going to kiss until we get married. I can't trust myself. And I'm like, oh, okay. You put your own things in place. But I'd say it's pretty extreme. But sometimes extreme is the only way. So in the Song of Solomon, it says, don't awaken love until it's time. So if sexual activity has been awakened, it's very hard. It comes alive a lot quicker.
Yeah, and the context for some people is, as you said, they've recently gotten saved. They have this whole other life that they've lived, and that's actually led to them actually now living with their partner.
Yes.
They've come to meet Jesus, and now we're saying, okay, well, maybe time to put up some boundaries. Well, what does that look like for someone who's actually living with their partner and they're not married?
Yeah, great question, because I mean, this happens and it's real. The repentance thing is big, and just getting that like conviction from the Holy Spirit. And so the more that you grow with God, the more that you're really sensitive to His voice and hear that, and it's like, oh, this grieves Him. And so for you to come to that place of repentance, go, I want to do it God's way, and repenting, and the forgiveness is real. Like He really extends that, whether it's the initial forgiveness or ongoing forgiveness. Teresa talked about it in communion tonight. And so just getting to that place where you're forgiven, it's as if you never sinned, which is an amazing place of grace with God. And then to go, okay, how can we do this differently? There's a few options. I guess marriage is an option if you know if it's a life partner, and just going, okay, well, we need to, if we're going to do it God's way, we're going to get married, and it might be quicker than you thought, but that's, you know, going to be the path that you take. The other one is to stop having sex, and whether you move out of the home or whether you move into another bedroom, or we know people that have gone, okay, well, we're getting married in a couple of months anyway, we're going to move into separate rooms and we're going to be really, really strict with our boundaries.
Kids, for example, so right. Hey, we're way down the track, we're essentially living like we're married, but because we want to honour God, we're going to take some steps. So I, just a thing I would say is our philosophy, our church culture is people can come to our church who are living together with no condemnation. Like, if you're on a journey of who's God and what's God's thoughts, and, you know, in that sense, we're not going to go around going, are you living together? Are you living in sin? Like, that's not the deal. It's like, no, just go on a journey to get to know who God is. And somewhere along the line, you'll hear God's standard on sex. And not just that He's a killjoy, but the why behind it, and then the Holy Spirit. So our job's not to play the Holy Spirit and to tell you how to live your life. Our job is to point you to Jesus and let Him tell you the best way to live your life. And somewhere along the line, you're going to start feeling uneasy about doing things the old way, and that's the time to not suppress the guilt, but actually start to make these changes. So, and that if that's 3 months, 3 weeks, or 6 months, it's okay, you know. But you're here. Keep coming to church.
So, you know, the relationship's going. We've got great boundaries in place. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that got asked: preparing for a wedding night. Mm. like the wedding night.
Yes.
I saw someone post a video of his dad in the 80s talking on his wedding night. He's got a microphone. He's like, just getting ready to go back and have some fun in the bedroom. Because it's the thing. It's the wedding night. It's the... I don't know. It was just
Thank
ridiculous.
You for that, Dave. That was such a great impersonation.
Okay. I didn't even know where I was. He was
where are we going
too.
With that?
But it was just like, oh, yeah, that right. It all leads to that moment. Yeah.
So you've done it God's way.
Yep.
You've been able to keep boundaries. You kept pure.
Yep.
Okay. And for a long time, it's been, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
And then you can.
And then you can. Honey?
Okay, so if you're young and you haven't been sexually active, let me just say the gift of virginity is the most amazing gift that you can give to your partner. It's just so precious, so sacred. And so for our young people here who haven't indulged in anything or you walk with Jesus all your life, then just for you, make a commitment with God that this is what you want. You want to make it to your wedding night
in that place.
Gift. Because that's a commitment that you can partner, and God can help you with that. But it's just, important.
If you haven't, you can reset and go, that's what I want to do from this moment forward.
Yeah.
I want to be cleansed and make that. That is my fresh commitment. But preparing, okay, so, what we would usually say is sex is a sacred gift. It's beautiful, but it doesn't necessarily come naturally in terms of how to do it. And don't get your wisdom from the movies or porn or anything like that, because that'll just distort it. We would usually say read some good material. So we recommended some resources this morning. A great Christian book on sex is Sheep Music by Kevin Lehman. We're going to post this week about 6 or 8 recommended resources. And so one in preparing for marriage, probably don't start reading it until a couple of weeks out, because it'll get the fire really going. So you just,
especially for a male.
Especially for the fellas.
Yeah.
Yes. So just usually I'll say a week before, guys, start to read this. Maybe the girls a few months before.
Yeah.
And to get some understanding. But and that will talk about, the wedding night. And part of that is just, if you're a virgin, it's the joy of discovery. It's like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and that's we do, as you said, Pastor Dan, earlier, we live in such a highly sexualized culture.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's so easily accessible to all of us at any, just like that.
Yeah.
And one of the predominant questions that are coming through is either, there's two people, it's either I am struggling with porn,
mm-hmm.
what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm with someone who's struggling with porn,
mm-hmm.
what do I do? I know we're talking to two different people and they're mm-hmm. two different... we're speaking to two different people there, but we'll start with the person that they themselves is struggling with porn.
Mm-hmm.
What are we saying to those guys?
Okay, look, So look, this morning I talked about some of the research and the effect of porn in people's lives. It's comprehensive, the research. The devil lies that it's harmless. The devil lies that it's educational. The devil lies that there's no. These are the lies, and because we get turned on when we watch porn, then it actually makes, there's like this release of chemical in our brain that gives people a high temporarily. So there's a chemistry behind it. So getting some understanding around it. So ultimately, porn will ruin, it will be, the stats I quoted this morning is a partner will be more likely to be, twice as likely to be depressed if their partner is watching porn in a marriage. 75% of men addicted to porn who are married are actually having no sex in their married life. And here's the basic reason behind it. It's unrealistic, it's animalistic, it's wrong, it's appealing to something that is not reproducible. The joy of sex is to be within a loving, caring, nurturing relationship where emotional intimacy is the basis of a great sex life. And pornography portrays that's not the case. And so it'll actually, just even practically for young guys, erectile dysfunction because of watching porn is now an issue. So a lot of young guys can't be sexually active because they can't be aroused, because they've watched extreme stuff and that's what their appetite is for. And then they look at a beautiful naked woman who they're with and loving and they don't get aroused anymore. That's because porn is distorted. So that would be the destruction to understand it's destructive for a guy, and then for a person and or a girl, because that's a rising issue, and then for the person married, it becomes a blockage to intimacy. So it's really important if you understand that to go, I've got to go on a journey of getting free. And that's one of the resources I recommended this morning, a book called Clean, which is really good to read, engage in, and kind of get some practical keys to break the demonic power that pornography has over people's lives.
Great. Could we just, on that, just if there are some people here, they're like, I want to start making steps to finding that freedom.
Yes.
What's something that they can do, like, soon or this week or... Yeah. That's something that they can practice.
Really quickly, I'd say within 24 hours, tell a leader, a connect group leader, or a good, mature Christian friend, hey, I'm struggling with porn. Bring it into the light. I'm struggling with porn, and I want to break the problem. That would be the very first thing, and then get a book like that.
Fantastic. So good. Okay, now, one of the damages of pornography, and this is... It's being educated by stuff that's completely... unrealistic, yes. Not God's view of yes. relationships. So we can be educated by all these different things, but it may not be God's desire. So many of us may have a distorted view of what godly sex actually looks like.
Right.
So in the wedding bed, what is there that we can do? Are there things we can do? Are there things we can't do? A lot of the questions we're saying, what do you think about sex toys? What do you think about... all the different types of sex, you know, different body parts. All that. Are there things that we can do? Are there things we can't do?
Awesome. No, it's, no, genuinely, this is a really good kind of... And this is not an anatomy class, and it's not a marriage seminar, but let's... Do you want to kick off on this?
Okay, so I would just say respect each other's boundaries in this as well. Yeah. So it's really important in a marriage relationship to be open about talking about sex.
Yes.
And it can be difficult to have that conversation. So we had Dr. Gavin Brown do a marriage seminar here in August, and he said even to have the talk about talking about sex... even if that's difficult for you, you have to have that talk. Just talk about why it's difficult for you, what it does when you're talking about it, to just even before that conversation, have a conversation. Because it's really important to understand what you feel comfortable with, what I feel comfortable with, what's okay. So even before the sex toy thing, it's like, what if one person's super keen, the other's not? Can you have that conversation? Rather than just like, oh, go along with it because, you know, I feel like I should or whatever. Right. So to be able to have a relationship, and that's where the emotional intimacy comes into it, that you're able to have a conversation about sex.
Yeah. So
that's my precursor.
Yeah, that would be the precursor, that there's a conversation. So even like we recommended a book called Sheet Music, I mentioned it before, just to read that as a married couple and after each chapter to talk about it. Is a great way. So the key to a great sex life is absolutely emotional connection. Yeah. It's friendship, the basis of friendship. It's emotional intimacy. And ultimately, it's not what can I get out of this and how is this going to make me feel awesome, because that's what porn is. How can I use my partner to make me feel good? It's actually how can I be a blessing? How can we have experience mutual pleasure? Sex is designed for pleasure. So that's conversational. The problem with sometimes this whole what can I get away with is it's the sex and it's the boundaries within marriage. So there's an appeal of some things that are kinky, if you like. And the problem is once you've done that, then you've got to do something else that's more kinky. So if you don't just put some boundaries in place and go, hey, the point of sexual intimacy is connection and mutual pleasure. And so if that's not the goal, if it's just like one person putting pressure on the other person to turn them on by doing something different and something new, that's danger territory. So most of those questions, like I think it was like, is oral sex okay? What do you think about toys, etc.? Most of those things come down to the Bible's quite grey about stuff. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about those issues, whether oral sex is okay. Bible doesn't talk about masturbation. What the Bible talks about is lust is the problem.
Yep.
And lust is about fueling me. So a lust, and that's the problem with pornography. Lust is about looking at something. And Jesus said, if you lust after someone in your heart, it's as much as it's the same as doing it. So lust is the challenge. So that would be the basis, would be good conversation and what's agreeable and mutually pleasurable in a marriage relationship. Then what's good for one couple might be different to the others. But that love and mutual respect is the key.
Right. So good. Tonight's been really, really cool. We don't have time for any more questions, but you did share some resources this morning.
Yes. So we're going to put them up. We'll put them up on the church's Instagram over the next couple of days.
Yep.
And highly recommend. There's ones about if you've been sexually abused, recovery. There's ones about, you wanted to talk about.
There's series, every young man's battle, every young woman's battle, the Stephen Arterburn series, heaps of gold in that. There's every young woman's battle. Mm-hmm. Every woman's battle.
Yep.
Also, who partnered with writing those, Shannon Etheridge, mm-hmm. is a great author, and she wrote a book called The Sexually Confident Wife, which is a great resource. So,
there's just
some in those series, and also specifically for women, really helpful.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
So good. Well, can we put our hands together for Pastor John and Dan?
There we go.
Vulnerable.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you.